We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
What do you think about the Laker team now?
You follow the box scores of the games every day?
Just the Lakers.
You're kidding. That is really a compliment. I was pleased to see you smile at the top of our show, because once the game starts, you have a game face. You don't smile much out there.
I don't think you have to do things for money anymore.
Correct.
What's up, Laker fans? Welcome to the Laker Film Room Podcast, brought to you by the Blue Wire Podcast Network. I'm Pete, joined by Darius and Mike, and we have an upcoming road trip, 6-game road trip, that's coming at a great time, I think. This would have thrashed the Lakers if they'd started it 3-4 weeks ago, I think. And that doesn't mean that, you know, good times are necessarily ahead, but I do think the Lakers are in a much better position to be competitive against a string of pretty good teams. And so Mike is joining us from a hotel in Milwaukee. Coincidentally, Mike, the first time I ever got drunk in my life was in a hotel in Milwaukee. And
wow.
Hopefully you're not. Yeah, I know, of all things, right?
What were you and Goldfarb up to, man? Like, was this at Jeff Burnham? You and Goldfarb?
No, this is my family. See, so this is my mom's side of the family, and they got a huge family, Irish, right? And a lot of them are in the Midwest. And so this is Milwaukee in 1997. So I'm like 16 years old, and me and all my badass cousins are sneaking the, what's the Boone's Farm and the Peach Schnapps that's in the, like, what's the main room, like the like ballroom that we'd rented out for the family to have dinner that night. And yeah,
wow.
We'd always had a, something we called the Blarney Rubble Award, which was for the person who got drunkest in the family. And I won the junior division that year, which I'm not entirely proud of, but I am saying it here on this podcast. So already off the rails, Mike, joining us from a hotel in Milwaukee. Yesterday, real quick, Mike, before you get into the road trip, yesterday we talked about how we feel about this team, right? Rather than what we think about this team. And you didn't get a chance to chime in. So just, it's been a wild ride this season. And I think that we are starting a new phase of the season right now with this road trip. And I'm just checking in with you real quick, Mike. How you feeling about this team?
Well, it's certainly better vibes than last year, so that's true. But I think that there's still a level of the team, and we've talked about how it's essentially if a trade happens or not, that I think that's when the team can fully crystallize. But it's a step above where things were last year. And I also agreed with you guys about like where the team is at now compared to even the first week or so of the season. And there's been enough figured out that I agree that I think that they can expect to be reasonably competitive, really against anybody. That doesn't mean that they're going to be favored to beat the Milwaukees or the Bostons, the teams that already have all of their stuff completely figured out. But yeah, it's certainly closer to that level.
And then, so talk to us about this road trip, Mike. I you know, with you following the league in writ large as closely as you do, what's your impression of the opponents that we have coming up?
It goes a bit both ways on this trip. Like there, I think the Lakers can have some reasonable expectations to get some wins. If you ask Anthony Davis, right, his way of trying to measure success is still, regardless of where they're at record wise, like he believes when he's on the court, kind of like when Goldfarb lines up whoever it is across the chess table.
That's right.
If I line up against somebody across the ping pong table, you know, there's going to be a level of confidence no matter who it is. And just starting with the first couple of games, so Milwaukee, well, I'm sure we'll get more specifically into that, but then Washington, you know, Cleveland, who is not playing as well as they were, and are, we'll see if they have Jared Allen. Like Toronto's a really good team, but have been missing some pieces here and there. Like Philadelphia, these are all teams that are good, but I'd probably separate Milwaukee from them, but I wouldn't say that they're teams that the Lakers mm-hmm. can't beat if they play really well. And if they don't play well, then they're certainly going to lose those games. The only one where even if the Lakers don't play great, they would have a chance to win would be at Detroit. But Detroit just beat Dallas last night in overtime. And this goes back to the larger focus of what the NBA is right now and how even the bad teams have enough talent that it's just as important that your own team, in this case, of course, we're talking about the Lakers, have to find the way that they're going to play and be healthy. And Darius and I were just texting about that as he was writing his preview, because we know that Schroeder's out tonight, but they're expecting to have both Walker and Brown returning. So they're not completely whole,
nice. But
they're closer than they were last game. The Milwaukee element, though, Darius, that's most interesting to me that you wrote about is this whole dynamic with Darvin having been there for so long and being such a Coach Bud disciple, and then what they run, and Darvin knows exactly what Bud's going to do, and Bud probably knows exactly what Darvin's going to do. And then you have just LeBron and Giannis and AD figuring it out on the fly, and then Middleton returns. So a ton of stuff in this specific game that starts this six-game trip.
Yeah, I think zooming out really quickly before we dive into the Bucks game, AD talking about how he wants to go 4-2. It's always tricky because you look at the teams, and I could tell you where I think the four wins could best come from, right? Like, I think the four wins are most likely to come against Washington and against Detroit, right? I think they could beat Cleveland. Braun always gets up for a game in Cleveland, but that Toronto game and tonight's game against the Bucks, those are the tricky games, because those teams are really, really good. Toronto's record isn't what it should be, but they just got Siakam back. They just got Barnes back. They're basically a whole team now, and they're going to start thrashing teams, basically, if they have their whole squad available. That's also, I think, the second night of a back-to-back. It's tricky, right? But then, whenever you start to forecast the schedule, and you say, I think my wins are coming here and my losses are coming there, the basketball gods That's strike right. you down for your hubris, for thinking that you know something that they don't. And things always go awry. So I'm not even going to speculate about where I think the Lakers' wins could or will or might come from, Pete. I'm just more interested at where the team's confidence level is, and where their spirit is, and that idea of like what their rhythm is. And those things are all trending up. How that translates on the court is an open question. And I think this is why this road trip is a proving ground of sorts. But I agree with you in terms of this trip was a month ago. I'm like, they about to go 0-6.
Sure.
I don't care who these other teams are. Like they're too good, Mike.
And Pete, to kick this to you, the other danger about looking ahead, even to what happens next week, is so many teams have at least one key guy that sits that you just don't know about until a day or two before. So that is a good point that Darius made. And one guy, as we know, specifically with this Lakers team, makes all the difference in the NBA. And sometimes it's a star, sometimes it's a role player that totally changes the equation. And that's why, like for tonight, I wonder the effect that Chris Middleton has on this team in this game, which could go a number of different ways. But Pete, you don't have to start there. If you want to go zoom out first.
No, 100%. I'm actually, you know, in my hoping Boston doesn't go all the way, overarching thing that I care about. Chris Middleton is a significant figure, right? Like that's the guy that I think that it was the difference between their series last year. And I think that those two teams are like, I put those two teams and then Golden State just on the strength of their being the champs. That group hasn't been beaten in a playoff series when healthy in a very long time. But those three are really the class of the NBA in my mind. And so Middleton coming back as that pull-up jump shooter, I think is a super important thing long-term for them. But the first game back for a player like that and incorporating a player like that back into the lineup isn't always easy. And so now it's funny because you were saying, you know, that Coach Bud and a Coach Bud disciple, it's going to be a lot of the teams. It's almost like, hey, you go up against this in practice all the time, right? Like when we're playing against each other in scrimmages, these are the schemes that you go against. And a guy like Middleton is an elite pull-up jump shooter. And so we can give up those kind of shots. But one thing that I want to see on this road trip is actually the flip side of that. We've talked a lot about how this scheme will give up some jumpers. But one of the things that it's taken away has, I think, really played into the positive math of this team that we haven't gotten into. And that's we don't give up many free throw attempts. We don't give up many free throw attempts, and we get a lot of free throw attempts. And so while shooting around 80% from the line, not so well the other day, but we've been good from the line the other day. And so in this paradigm where we're one of the lesser three-point shooting teams around the NBA, you got to make up for the math of that elsewhere. And I think we've done that by getting to the line and getting to the rim. This Milwaukee game in particular is that, like, okay, well, let's see you do that against Giannis and Brooke Lopez in a scheme that's like really built to stop this. So going into this Milwaukee game in particular, D, that's the one of the things I'm really looking at is can we leverage a strength that we have as, you know, patchy as we are in other areas of the game against a team that's the number one defensive rating in the league and that really locks that down.
Yeah, one of the things I did not do in my game preview is like dive into a ton of numbers that I had looked up and really tried to, because it ended up being kind of Spider-Man meme-ish to me. Like, oh, like here's one team looking at the other team. And that idea of like anything you can do, which is sort of one of my three things, is like anything you can do, right? Like I can do better sort of idea. And right now, Milwaukee is the I can do better side. They're number one in defense. They are 15-5. They are the benchmark that I think in a lot of ways, a disciple of that head coach who is now coaching the Lakers. We talked a lot about North Star yesterday, Pete. Well, the Bucks are sort of a North Star for the Lakers in a lot of ways, just from a schematic standpoint and how well they execute within the context of those schemes and how they act out on those philosophies on both sides of the floor, right? But the devil's always in the details. And I'll be very interested if the Bucks are going to still be the top rim protecting team if Anthony Davis and LeBron James and Russell Westbrook and all these guys are getting downhill the way that they are. Are they going to be able to protect and not only protect the rim? Because I think the Bucks rank like fourth or fifth in terms of field goal percentage allowed at the rim, but they're first in limiting attempts.
That's right. That's right? What it's
and
built
so
to
they
do.
They don't even let teams shoot down there, right? And so you look and then, but then you look at the shots that they do allow, and so it's like, oh, look, they're giving up the most shots in 8 to 12 feet and then 12 to 16 feet. They're the most shots allowed, which are the exact shots like around the NBA teams, defenses want you to take. You know who ranks third in those stats? The Los Angeles Lakers. And so it's just like there is this idea, Mike, of who is going to crack the other team's code and who's going to do the thing better that they know where the weaknesses are and how do you exploit those. And this is where I think it comes less down to, although this is going to matter, I think it comes down less to coaching acumen and more to like what is the skill set of the players that are on the court. And that's why I think it's important that Lonnie Walker is been upgraded to probable. It's why I'm very interested to see how Chris Middleton plays. And it's why I tried to discuss this idea of LeBron and AD versus Giannis, and then to a certain extent, Brooke Lopez, because those battles in the front court and who's going to control the painted area, that's what this game is about to me. And both teams are going to shoot a certain amount of threes. Both teams are going to be comfortable giving up a certain amount of threes to specific three-point shooters. But when it comes right down to it, this is a star league, and there's no bigger stars than Giannis and LeBron and Anthony Davis. Like, and so these guys are going to war tonight, and they're going to lock horns with the Bucks, right? And so how do you see that part of things playing out?
You know, it's a good matchup when there are about six things that I want to get to right here, and I know you guys have them as well, and we just have to kind of try to check the list off, right, without repeating each other's thoughts. or at least adding, or hopefully adding to them. The first one I was thinking of, we talked about a little bit already, was Middleton. And when a player returns, as Pete suggested, there are basically two ways that it can go. To me, one is comes back, teammates are kind of inspired, rally around the flag, like, let's go, we're whole again, hits one of his patented jumpers, you know, lifts him, everybody plays defense harder. That's one way. The other way is it just messes up the rhythm because he's on a minutes limit. Okay, starting, but coming out at an earlier time than usual. Shot isn't going down. Well, that's the spot where actually Giannis was being more aggressive at that part of the game. And for this Bucks team, I tend to give them the benefit of the doubt and think that they end up, it ends up sort of giving them a boost. And that's certainly the way that the Lakers have to prepare for it, right? They can't go in thinking like, oh, well, yeah, maybe they just won't work out with Chris Middleton back. And he's also better defensively with his size, yeah. I think, than some people realize. So he helps them be bigger.
One of the things I look at for tonight, one of the ways it's always going to go for that guy who's coming back, whether it goes well or poorly, is he's going to be gassed fairly earlier than he would be, right? It just, you have to play in NBA games to get into NBA shape and conditioning. And between that and the foot speed advantage that AD has on Lopez, like, run these dudes, make Middleton huff and puff. And when Russ comes into the game, just like that, pushing the pace, the Wenyans, the TBs, those guys, I think that, like, if this is a half court game, it becomes much more difficult. So just with that in mind, like, I totally agree it can go either way in that respect, but Middleton's just not going to have his wind in his first game.
For sure. All right. So two other things. Rebounding. Milwaukee's a great rebounding team. They're second in the league in rebound percentage. The Lakers are not. They're 21st in rebound percentage. Now, in terms of like total rebounds,
that's Lakers a way of saying it.
Yeah. In terms of up there, they're higher in terms of total rebounds, in part because of their pace. And the Lakers lead the league in pace, just ahead of the Warriors. And Milwaukee has been playing slower this year. They're at 16th. So just two things I think are interesting. And then with Schroeder being out, I think that the plan – here, let me rephrase. I think that what I might have wanted or sort of seen happen, and I don't know what the coaches exactly were thinking, would be to transition Beverly to the bench and to start Schroeder and go and see how that would work. Well, with Schroeder out, in last game, of course, it was Lonnie and Walker and Troy Brown that were out. Does that mean that Beverly starts again, or do you maybe start Austin? And who's been playing great, and then in place essentially a Schroeder, and then, you know, have Beverly come off the bench. And that, I think, makes an impact on this specific game too, thinking about Drew Holiday and, you know, Middleton sizing them up some. So those matchups are intriguing to me as well, and as this game approaches.
So let's go to break here, Mike, because I think that I want to talk a little bit more about this Bucks game and then forecast out a little bit too for the rest of this road trip.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America N.A., member FDIC.
Yeah, so I'm not sure what Darvin is going to do in this one. Patrick Beverley is such an important defensive player, and I just wonder who Darvin thinks is the best matchup for him defensively, right? And so does he think he needs Pat Bev to defend Drew Holiday? Because if he does, then guess what? Austin Reeves is not going to start. Mm-hmm. Like, because Troy Brown's very likely to return to the lineup and return as a starter, right? And he's likely going to be slotted against Chris Middleton regardless. And so this then comes down to, what do you think your starting lineup needs? Pete, this is an undertold story, I think, this season, but it's something that I've been tracking but haven't necessarily dove into all the numbers yet. But the Lakers have yet to really find a starting lineup that actually gives them a boost and pushes them to the point where they're either just even playing break-even basketball. A lot of times they are down. Mm-hmm. After that first sort of initial part of the game before Russ comes in, and then they're different. It's always a game of runs. A team is always going to find their stride eventually, but I feel like the Lakers starters have not necessarily found their way. And look, that's been true even when Austin is in the game. There's just something that's going on at the start of games that the Lakers have had trouble getting over that hump. But on this road trip specifically, and I think specifically against a Bucks team that really likes to sort of put a stranglehold on you early with Giannis. Giannis is such a forceful player, and their defense is so good that you can lose a game in the first five minutes just as easily as you can in the last five. And so what do you think about the starting group, to speak to Mike's question about, like, where do you think the lineup goes and that pivot point with Austin, particularly with Dennis out?
And just to add into this, Pete, the Bucks have been starting smaller without Middleton. So they've had Javon Carter in the backcourt next to Holiday, who's a really good defensive player, high pressure, you know, in some ways like a shooter Beverly type, but super aggressive. And then Grayson Allen has been playing the three, essentially a little bit out of position, which would have been a nice matchup for Troy Brown. You know, Middleton is less so. And so I assume that Middleton, even if on a minutes limit, goes back into that group. And I just want to throw that in there as you think about optimized Laker lineups, either for this game or just in general.
It's funny, the Bucks doing the three guard stuff, because that's been a big storyline with us as well, right? I think that the one place where I disagree is oftentimes we don't have two bigs the way that Milwaukee does. To, like, if you're going to run three guard lineups, like, you got Giannis and Brooke Lopez back there, you're fine. Run three guard lineups. You're not going to experience that, you know, those rebounding and those issues at the rim, especially in this defensive scheme. But if you go smaller, you do run the risk of that. I am curious if they bring Middleton off the bench. Like, that can be a thing sometimes when a guy comes back. But with that initial group, like, to put it simply, like, I think a reason our starters struggle is because we've got two superstars and then one guy who's a mini MLE guy, another guy who's a vet min guy, and then another guy who's either a vet min guy or Pat Bev, who's been really struggling, right? So, like, just to put it very simply, like, a lot of times the other team's starters have more guys that are 10 million plus players in the lineup, right? And so that's going to happen to a certain degree. But I do think that the lead guard spot, D, and the starting small forward spot, like, I like Brown. I also think in a perfect world, I think he's the backup to a better version of him, or like a pull-up jump shooter type of guy, like a 6'8 type of dude. There are a couple of ways it can go, right? That's another thing, too, is that with tonight's game, we get to see the too big version of this that we've been kind of pining for. And that's one of the, I think, the central questions the front office has right now is, do we pursue a starting center in a trade, or do we need a backup center? And so, sorry, that's just where my mind goes when it comes to this game. But also, like, kind of like themes throughout the road trip is, I think that we have a potential trade looming, and this road trip is going to give us the most, like, it's almost like a midterm exam of sorts for this team of what's real and what isn't.
Well, in kicking this to you, Mike, I also think they're going to see a ton of variety on this trip in terms of styles, right?
Oh, and yeah.
So Cleveland, I think, would offer, like, particularly if Jared Allen's back, then you get another team with two bigs, very similar to what Milwaukee's doing with two bigs. But then you also see a Toronto team that's going to basically play like the UNLV Running Rebels. Mm-hmm. Like, They are just smashing teams in transition and
God, our transition defense. Oh Jesus.
And getting deflections, like Siakam's playing center, basically. Matchup, yeah. It's like, oh my goodness. Yeah, they're just gonna run a second half back to back. It's gonna be crazy. And then you've got a team like Washington, which is like, okay, like anchor big, but he's a stretch player, and all like there's just a bunch of different types of teams that the Lakers are going to face. And so in terms of that midterm exam that Pete's talking about, it's not just for one class.
Exactly.
Either, right. It's just like it's midterm season. And you better have done your Spanish homework just like you did your philosophy homework, just like you did your history homework, because all of these things are different subject matters and it's A through G time for you. Like you got to have it all down. And so that's why I'm super intrigued, because the Lakers, the type of system the Lakers run, is supposed to be foolproof to a certain extent. It is supposed to be able, it's a stabilizing system. It's very simplistic. It's paint by numbers. It's just like one or two reads on both sides of the ball. They're not asking players to think so much. They're asking them to react and leverage their athleticism and individual skills. And it's why, to me, I think it's great that they're starting this road trip against the Bucks, where it is sort of that like, oh, they're the PhD version of the Lakers undergraduate exams, right? Like that's the team that they're doing it the way that the Lakers will hopefully want to be doing it in April and May, if they're lucky enough to get to May, right? And so it's good to start out with that and then to flow into the rest of this trip. So how do the Lakers still look big picture on this trip while also compartmentalizing enough, considering the differences in teams that they're going to see, while also focusing on themselves more so than anything else?
Yeah, I don't know that the Lakers can really be that similar to the Bucks for the reason that Pete mentioned, just in that Brooke Lopez and having that real huge stretch five that shoots threes on one end and just protects the rim and does it at an elite level. That changes the whole makeup of the team to such an extent that, like, the Lakers, the closest they could get is that look that they gave at the end of the second quarter, which I made sure to ask Darvin about because I liked it, because it was Thomas playing next to AD. But, you know, Darvin essentially said, yeah, for certain teams that are extra big, it's something we know we can go to, but that's not going to be the typical way that we play. I think is mostly what his answer was. But, you know, if Thomas Bryant extends that range out, as he did hit a three, he doesn't have the same rim protection, though, of course, that Brook Lopez does. And that's why it's difficult to find that player. And you don't need him to have quite as much if you have Anthony Davis. But it's not going to be sustainable in the way that Milwaukee's is. But to me, the swing factor, Darius, to more directly answer your question, and it's odd to talk about him in this context, but LeBron and how many games that he has, and you guys talked about this in the last spot, how many games that he has that are like the game, are like the previous game, like where it against Portland, where he continues to play at a certain level defensively and takes on certain assignments like he took on Jeremy Grant and is not getting discouraged when teammates that admittedly are not as talented or whatever they're doing are not playing the right way, whatever it is. And he just sort of keeps going and plugs away. And because AD to me has to be, even if it's not always the constant, and he's the thing that the other team doesn't have a good answer for. They just don't. Yeah. Even Milwaukee doesn't have a great answer for AD. Well, they guard him with Giannis the whole game. Well, then that pulls him out. Well, we can't really guard him with Brook. Like, he's the guy that I think they're going to have to discuss. But if LeBron then plays at the peak of where he's at now, that to me is where everybody else is then going to get slotted to where they don't have to do as much. And you're not asking them to do too much, like, you know, season high points from Austin Reeves and stuff like that. So I'll go back to AD and LeBron as the keys here. But that's to me more of the swing factor.
Now, man, look, Darius and I can get so deep into the weeds sometimes that is always a refreshing, you know, like, yeah, of course, Like, that's going to be the biggest thing. All of these things about scheme and all of the details, like, I think we delight in that. But there is a certain, like, hey, does LeBron have it going tonight? Then, yes, we have a good chance of winning. Does he not? Probably not. And that's that, right? And so the story of LeBron's season, I think, is super interesting because he's, you know, I think working himself back into that. And that's part of the reason, Mike, why I'm not, like, I'm not so quick to bury LeBron James. Like, I'm gonna believe in him until the wheels come off. And what I've seen, D, is a player that's trying to, like, get it back. And it's not just that, like, a loss of skill, because he's still a genius, right? He's still just incredibly skilled. I really want to see him get back to that fadeaway, like, where he has that unblockable shot, like Kareem, like we were talking about with Kareem yesterday. But all of this is kind of a transition for him. It's not stuff that he's never done before. It's all part of his arsenal, but, like, figuring how much to go in one direction versus another. I think this road trip is great for him in that respect, exactly because of that wide variety of teams that you were talking about.
Well, I also think too that, and this is where I want to zero back in on the Bucks matchup specifically, and we'll do this again when they play Cleveland. We'll do this again when they play Toronto. We'll even do it again when they play Washington, based off of, like, who the forwards are on those specific teams. But part of what makes a player a great player is when there's another great player on the other team, and that's your matchup. Or, and in the case of Grant, who is a very, very good player, but not a great, great player, but, like, the other team's best guy on that specific night, or one of their top two guys because Damian Lillard is out and everyone gets pushed up a slot. In the past, and I mentioned this some in my game preview, but it used to be AD who was on Giannis. And that was because the Lakers played bigger so often, right? They started a traditional center. Giannis plays power forward. AD plays power forward. And they matched up almost all of the time. Well, I just looked this number up today. Per Cleaning the Glass, Anthony Davis has played 98% of his minutes at center. And so that 2%, that is that's that shift with Thomas Bryant, Mike, that happens once every four games.
For 2 minutes.
Right? For, like, 3 minutes. Yeah. Seriously, though, that's exactly what that is. And so LeBron's most natural matchup tonight is Giannis.
Yep.
Right? You could put him on Lopez, but then LeBron's going to be in every pick and roll, and he's going to have to defend the pick and pop, and he's going to have to rebound. And then Lopez is going to be like, okay, well, you might be LeBron James, but I'm 7'1" and I'm a massive human being. So I'm going to post you up some. I'm going to lean on you. I'm going to do all of this stuff. And so I kick it back to you guys. One of the determining factors of does LeBron have it tonight, I think, is going to be how much does the other team engage him in order to, like, poke the bear a little bit and, like, bring it out of him, right? And to me, there's no other player in the league that's likely to bring it out of him like Giannis. I remember when they clashed the championship season, Pete, and it was that weekend where they played the Clippers and they played the Bucks on back-to-back games. And LeBron was just like, you know what? I got the clamps for you, Kawhi Leonard and Paul George, and I got the clamps for you, Giannis, right? And so it's 2 years later now. Giannis has got a ring. He's got another MVP award in his pocket. But to me, this is where it's at. How do you see that matchup going? And do you even see it going in that direction where LeBron has to defend Giannis?
Yeah, no, I think that's exactly, like, I think we've framed LeBron getting himself going so much through the offensive end, and that's largely my fault, that you're absolutely right, D, that him guarding him, and also, like, just from a pure basketball perspective, you need somebody versus Giannis who can win the battle on the ground. Like, not let him get past you. He might go over you, and you can get help in that respect. But, like, the Celtics will guard Giannis with Horford primarily. And Horford is never going to jump or have the athletic gifts that Giannis has. But it's his ability to understand exactly the correct position to be in the exact correct stance. And it's not like, of course, it's high it's high intensity minutes defensively, Mike, right? Like, you are asking LeBron James to guard Giannis. And so, but if you want to win this game tonight, that is just from a basketball truth standpoint, like, he's the most well-equipped to do that. And you've got, I really want to get AD and Lopez next to each other in a way that AD can leverage his athletic gifts in a way that I don't think Lopez can guard. And that's a way to get there, right? But again, you're asking year 20 LeBron to be like, hey, go take Giannis for 30 minutes tonight. It's a big ask.
So I've been watching a lot of the World Cup, and it's, I won't get into the whole fact that it's in the Qatar and all of that and the political sides of this, but what that's done and what's that, what that's created has been games the second that I wake up, but are still over before League Pass starts up at 4 p.m. So basically,
oh, so you're having a good time. Yeah.
They're in the absolute perfect viewing window, and I have gotten to see a lot of them, you know, often while, you know, listening to basketball podcasts to make sure that we're keeping up on stuff. But the guy that I've been watching, and one of my favorite players in the world, is Kylian Mbappe, and he plays for France. And when you're talking about Giannis, there's a certain way that you have to defend Mbappe because he's such an amazingly superior athlete that if you give him an inch, he's in on goal. Like, whether he's on the sideline, whether he's in the middle of the field, and the way that you were discussing Horford defending Giannis, like, as a defender in soccer, first of all, you need more than one typically, but you can't be sleeping, or because in LeBron is like this in transition still. He used to be like this more in the half court, but if he even just gets a shoulder on you, it's lights out.
Oh yeah,
and that requires this certain level of mental focus and fortitude for 90 minutes for anybody that plays against France, and for every minute that Giannis is on the floor. And to have that guy also be the person that's supposed to do stuff on the other end is a just gargantuan task that a prime type player can do.
Right,
and it's just in this case. You know, I don't know that I would ask LeBron or AD. Maybe it's a mix of the two. And then I'm more in the you have to sort of throw different looks with because of what the Lakers have. And they don't have somebody that can just be assigned to Giannis in that context.
So 100%. It's going to have to be different looks, multiple people and all of that. But what I would do, because I think this can serve another purpose from Darvin's standpoint too, is I would be like, yes, LeBron, we do need you to guard Giannis because you are the most equipped to do this of our players. But we will take some offensive responsibility off of your plate on a night like this for exactly the reason that you were just saying, Mike. One of the things I want to see, D, is how good is Austin Reeves? Like, one of the things, Austin can get his pocket picked from time to time with ball pressure. He got Javon Carter and Jrue Holiday tonight. So if, like, Schroeder's out, I'd love to see Austin Reeves start. Whatever impact it has on the game, play Austin 36 minutes tonight and see what happens. Because that, to me, he represents a place of potential internal growth where I just want to get the answer to how good is Austin Reeves on this road trip.
Oh, let me add one thing to set you up with Austin. So Austin, they're going to have some level of focus on him, and they have the guards, and we'll see if Carter and Holiday play together. But when Austin's out there with the ball, guys are still thinking about LeBron and AD, and that's part of why I like him in the starting lineup, or at least playing more with those guys, because if he's out there leading a different unit, and then it's like Carter or Holiday, go ahead and stop this guy a little bit more. I think I like the fact that Austin has LeBron or AD for the defense to be occupied with. And that's not to say that he can't still get the job done, but that I just always think is an interesting part of Austin, because, like, the way that Pete said it, right, is what, okay, let's show us what you can do. But that's the interesting factor as to where Milwaukee is prioritizing him in the scouting report and how much resources they're devoting to something like that.
Yeah. It's also about the actions that they put Austin in to, and how many screen and rolls that he runs, and who his partner is in those actions, right? And so Austin, you put Austin in a side screen and roll with Anthony Davis, guess who that's helping? It's helping Austin Reeves, right? You put him in an angle or inverted pick and roll action where either Austin is handling the ball or he's the one screening with LeBron James, guess who that's helping? It's helping Austin Reeves, right? And so besides all the the stuff that you're talking about, Mike, which I think is also super applicable when Austin is sort of on the opposite side of the floor and he's working off ball, or he's even handling the ball himself, but he's away from where LeBron and AD are. The gravity of a superstar is why those players are so valuable. There's never a time where they're in the game and they're not your top focus, right? Even if they don't have the ball. And it's why, it's where the phrase making your teammates better comes from. It's because the attention that you draw allows them to play more free, and it allows them to play with more space. And all of that's going to be helpful to Austin. Pete, I 100% agree with you. Austin led the Lakers in minutes the last game. And honestly, Darvin's proclivity to try to lessen the minutes load on both LeBron and AD, which is another Coach Bud thing. Giannis has typically been around the 32-minute range when he's literally in the prime
of his
career.
Much to the consternation of Bucks fans on many nights, yes.
No, you go back to like when Wilt was this dude's age, a different era, I know, but this dude played 48 minutes a game. It's just like this dude never came out, right? So anyways, so Austin should be among the league leader or among the Lakers leaders in minutes every night, because he is one of the more complete two-way players, and his the specifics of his skill set as a passer and a ball mover and a connecting player allows him to fit in any lineup. And I'm happy to see him taking on more responsibility, but going up against the likes of Drew Holiday or going up against the likes of a Javon Carter, who is a good ball pressure guard, these are good tests. He may even find Chris Middleton on him a few possessions, right? Depending on where the matchups go. So big test for Austin Reeves. I think big test for LeBron James, who, like, for all the, like, the, he is the aging lion, but he's still a lion all the same. And I'll be interested to see if he has one of those nights where he's like, hey, don't bury me yet. It's not the time for the Viking funeral. I'm still actual Viking. And it may, and like, this is why I love these sorts of games, because you've got the titans of the league going head to head, and this is what it's about to be.
Should be fun. 4:30 Pacific time on Spectrum tonight. Got another game on Sunday. We'll be back on Monday to talk about how it went. But until then, you've been listening to the Laker Film Room podcast. We'll catch you guys next time.
James has got it in low to McHale. McHale wants to turn. He's double team. Just pass out of front, broken up by Worthy. Tip to Magic. Worthy dies on his belly. Magic scores.
And Magic got it. Magic fires. It's good. They will.
A lot of Laker fans sticking around for this.
You're seeing something that's very rare indeed. A Laker to get MVP chance
right, in Boston.
In Boston.
Of all places.
Are you kidding me?
Kobe. Hard to believe.
Are you kidding me? Unreal. Are you kidding me?
Lakers looking to push. Bryant spinning in the lane. Back for Gasol. Pretty pass. And it's back to a three-point game.
Kobe Bryant picked up by Bell.
There's the move. Two, one,
this is it.
Unbelievable.
It's over.
And shot clock now to five. Bryant. Yes. And that was a little tough to Alvin Gentry.
Add insult to injury, Kobe. I mean, what a shot. I mean, you can't defend that. Are you kidding me?
2.1 seconds remaining. Denver a foul to give. Jokic trying to disrupt Rondo. He puts it in. Here's Davis. 4-3 in the win. Oh, it's good. Anthony Davis has won it for the Lakers. James again. Oh, he hits another one. LeBron James putting together a closing quarter against the Nuggets.
This historic 2020 NBA championship belongs to the Los Angeles Lakers. The Lakers conquer the bubble, and banner number 17 will soon hang in the rafters.